Hello, and welcome to the Gamesite Podcast, episode 172. I'm Proteus.
I'm Assimilator.
And I'm Zelda Queen.
And this week has been largely a portables week.
Yes.
At least in this house.
Yeah, I've played a lot of portable, too.
It's just so much more handy.
I can take it with me, like when we were at IKEA. When you were getting your coffee and, you know, like mid-looking break, it's like, I can whip out Zelda and play Zelda at IKEA. Whee!
Yeah, we braved, I don't know, second decent winter storm this year.
At least here in the Denver metro area, yeah. Mountains, I've been told, are beginning to slam with snow. But yeah. Here, it's like, yeah, we had the whole store practically to ourselves.
Woot.
Because the roads were slushy and kind of slick.
Parts of I-25 are really bad. They're packed snow. No idea where the lanes are.
Because most of the places, you can see little lanes, and so you just follow the car in front of you because you could see the lane. But
basically, once you got south of 225,
it was spotty in places. And then once we got past Dry Creek, it was really bad. It was bad getting into the IKEA. Yeah. Then we have people who are like, "Oh, I want to just cross in front on the icy road in front of you." There's a group of three like teenage girls who just decided to walk in front of us in these terrible road conditions, and we had to like.
I basically, you know, put the brake on, just, you know, and had the ABS was going. It just kind of, you know, about stopped maybe 5 feet in front of them or something. Like, thanks.
Bunch of idiots.
Yeah, so it's like, you couldn't wait, like, one more minute, because then there would have been no traffic. There was us and one person who was waiting to turn out of the parking lot.
So IKEA was nice and quiet, is what you're saying this weekend.
Yeah. There's still people there, but it wasn't super crazy busy. Like, there's like checkouts available. The guy's like, just come right up. We're all ready. And it was like, this is awesome. Because usually when we go, if we can, we do the express checkout because it's really easy. But we had way more than like
so
10
things.
Or 12 items.
Well, there
that
was
they
10 just legs.
We were down in our office. You know you're a grown-up when you get excited about furniture.
I don't know. If you're a kid, you might get excited about a race car bed.
I don't think I would have been excited by a race car bed.
What about a Triforce bed?
Well, that would be hard to do. I always wanted bunk beds.
Bed.
I mean, my brother and I always wanted bunk beds, but then that required us having to, you know, share a room together. And
what if you had gotten one of those beds that they have now that have the bed on top and, like, a desk underneath it?
See, that I would have loved, but I would have liked that as a kid.
If I ever have kids, I'm going to have to get them that just so I have, you know, maximum utility of space.
Yep. But other than that, I've just been playing Legend of Zelda, Link Between Worlds. That's been my game. I've been having tons of fun with it. I have finished 4.5 dungeons. I kind of got halfway through the sand dungeon, or sand temple, or desert temple. I got the Titan mitts, which I've been looking forever, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna do all this other stuff that I've been waiting for these, and I'm like, man, had I done like the desert temple first, I would have had them a lot earlier. It probably would have had the progress flow of my game go a little better. So I was like, darn. But, in any case, I've gotten 4 dungeons completely done. I've been having a lot of fun. I've been feeling like the item rental, I know a lot of people have been complaining. It's like, oh, I can just get everything at the beginning. I don't have to work for it in the dungeon. I'm like, well, that's not the point. The point is more of, yes, you already have the item. Yes, you gotta eventually buy it. But mostly it's working your way through and figuring out the puzzles, which are different because it's not necessarily based on the item that you find in that dungeon. And having the merge ability to turn into a painting has added a different level of complexity, I feel, to the game when it's like, oh, how do I get over there? It's always the first time when I boot it up and I'm supposed to be like, how do I get over there? I can't reach it. I'm like, oh yeah, merge. It always takes me a second to, you know, remember you can go flat and crawl across the wall, and that solves a lot of problems. I also must say, too, I did the Swamp Temple, and for a water-based dungeon with some water level changes, it was not nearly as aggravating as past water temples have been.
I'll agree with that.
It was much more enjoyable. I think it's because the water level thing didn't infect the entire level. It affected sections of where you were at. And you could clearly see what sort of level progress you had, too. So that was nice. But I have yet to do the lake dungeon in Lovril, the mountain dungeon, and I need to finish the desert / swamp dungeon. Because I just got there the other day. Mm. I've been looking for little squids. Or octopuses, or whatever. I call them little squid babies, so I have 85! I have 100. They became my obsession. I only have one more in the Hyrule, and then that means there's 14 in low world that I need to look for. I have my sword maxed out. I have at least the first, you know, chain. I don't know if there's other chain. Don't tell me. I have the blue chain mail. Do you have the blue chain mail?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, there's 3 chain mails in the original Legends of Zelda.
Yeah. I did find the Fountain of Happiness. I don't think I've thrown enough money into it yet. I can't remember where I found it, though, either. It's the problem.
It is in Lowrul.
Yeah.
By the giant bomb flower.
Okay. I was like, it's somewhere over the left corner of Lowrul. Somewhere there. I threw like 250 rupees into it. I wasn't trying to throw everything I had because I'm still having to buy items. But now I have all the items, and I have all the items upgraded except for the fire rod. Though I am still missing one piece of equipment in my gear list that I don't know what goes there. But don't tell me. Because, you know, you have the bee badge and the titan mitts and all that sort of stuff there. And then there's one circle I don't have anything filled into it yet. Yeah, see, you have more dungeons than I have. Just don't tell me. I want to figure it out. I will figure it out eventually. It's just enjoying it. So, I don't know how many hours I've plugged. I can say I haven't died. And I think the only boss that really was sort of pissing me off was the hand boss with the eyeball in the middle.
Mm.
Just because it's like, crash into the wall. Crash into the wall. Please stop doing the ground slap thing because I don't have much ground to work with anymore. And the magic thing. It's just like, oh, I'm about to run out of magic. Oh, where can I pop out for a little bit to replenish? That one, yeah, I almost died. I had a heart and a half left and no fairies. So I guess I'll start rambling on. That's the only thing I've been playing is Zelda.
I really liked the game. I liked the throwback to the old school Zelda formula instead of the third person 3D world that we've typically become used to. I enjoyed the top down like 3/4 perspective, I guess is what you would call it.
Yeah, we've seen the screenshots where everything is at this really weird angle to make it work.
Yeah.
And especially, too, because that's how it has to do it when you convert into the, you know, the 2D, everything goes flat, and then when you convert back, it goes it's really weird looking. I've seen screenshots.
But I enjoyed it. I like going back to the original Zelda / Link to the Past style gameplays that made the Zelda series what it was initially.
I think it brings back a little bit more of the go explore and try things out. I feel like in most days, I think people get frustrated where they're like, well, I need a little bit of direction, which the game does give you, because you can go to the fortune teller to get hints as to know kind of where you need to go. It's, you know, it's a hint. It's not like you get to this place but going XYZ, you know, doing all these things. It just gives you a hint. And also with the hint glasses, you can bring up the ghosts, which if you use play coins will give you, I think, more details, but I haven't actually...
He doesn't give you that many details.
Okay. I haven't actually used one before. I just kind of put the glasses on one time and found one, and...
It's like, oh, that's nice, there's ghosts.
Yeah.
I have a lot of play coins, so it's like, yeah, let's see what he has to say.
Okay, so
it usually happens when I get really pissed off.
And to me, that's what... You know, the first Legend of Zelda... Especially when we were doing the NES remix, and I was like yelling at the screen. I'm like, I know where the sword is. You don't have to tell me. Because in the initial screen, you have 3 pathways and a cave. And you have no weapons or anything. The game just starts you there. You go into the cave, and the guy's like, it's dangerous to go alone. Here, take this. And it gives you a sword. And that's it. You're like, okay, I guess I can go wherever I want. if it wasn't for, like, the item restriction, you could probably do a lot of the... You could probably have done most of the dungeons in whatever order you wanted. Granted...
Just to get to them.
Yeah.
In some cases.
Like, some of them you needed to have the ladder to get through. Some of them you needed the raft to even just get to it. Power bracelet, candle. At least a candle you can buy to unlock. I think it's Dungeon 7 that uses the candle. If I'm remembering correctly, it's been a little while.
Oh.
I know where the dungeon is.
It must be an earlier one, because Dungeon 7, don't you get the magic wand?
I think so. But you have to use the candle to burn the bush to get into the dungeon.
Okay. I was thinking that the red candle is probably before...
Yeah, the red candle is an item in one of the previous dungeons. But you can buy the blue candle outright from one of the merchants. I like that. I like a game that says, here's what how the mechanics sort of work. Go have fun. Do it in your own sort of order. But what's nice, too, is that Hyrule is somewhat contained. It's not so massive that you're like, oh my gosh, I have to get all the way over there. Ugh. I mean, it does have a little bit of a transport system.
The Dangerous to Go Alone thing, sorry, reminded me of a comic I saw a while ago that actually made me feel a lot worse for Link. The comic was done by Zach Gorman.
Oh, yeah.
And basically has, like, it's dangerous to go alone. Take this. It will keep me safe? No, there's no safety to be found in a sword. A sword brings death. It does not give life. It is a responsibility, a burden. This is no gift. It is a curse. I hope one day you will forgive me. It's like, now I feel worse for Link having to go through all that.
Well, he's kind of been, you know, cursed into this perpetual struggle with the forces of evil in Hyrule. I mean, that's why all this sort of stuff goes down a lot. It's not always the same Link. It's just, you have the essence of the hero of time. You are it now.
Somehow Zelda's always named Zelda, though. It's not the princess, it's Zelda specifically. It's always Zelda.
Yeah. Well, at least in The Adventures of Link, it purposely said that when that Zelda that you rescue when she's asleep, the one that's sleeping, is every subsequent Zelda after her, in honor of her, was named Zelda. So it's kind of just perpetuated. So it's like some royal lines or things that, you know, they name the same kid over and over. Or
Queen Elizabeth the blank.
Yeah. Or they have, you know, another name, and then they take, you know, this name when they're ruling. That happens, too, with rulers. I mean, even the popes do it. The popes have, you know, their given name, and then once they become pope, they take on another name as the pope. I always see Zelda as being that sort of thing.
Maybe that's why she's a princess instead of a queen. It's part of that title.
Nope, I'm still going to say it's because we can't make the girls queens, and... There's a whole bunch more behind that.
This was a conversation for Mart Knight.
Yeah, we won't go into that discussion, because it's very lengthy. We really want to discuss social aspects, but let's not do that.
It's a video game with magic. It's magic! I don't know if that's a good excuse for that one, but...
No.
A wizard did it.
Well, in this case, you could say a very powerful wizard did cause all this.
A pinky wizard.
So let's see. Beyond The Legend of Zelda, I've been playing Need for Speed Rivals for the PS4. It's a pretty enjoyable game overall, I found. It doesn't have the stunt work from the Paradise something game for the Xbox 360. I wish I could remember. Burnout Paradise. It doesn't have the stunt work from that game, but it still has a lot. But the vehicles are still pretty fun to race, and you get to play as either cops or racers, and each one has its pros and cons. The cops get given their cars as they go up in rank by basically completing challenges and busting racers, and they get racer points for busting racers or doing certain kind of stuff like sliding or doing a NOS boost. But they don't gain points as fast, and you're spending most of your points on pursuit tech. Whereas the racers, it's easier to gain racer points for them, But if a cop busts them, they lose all of them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you have to buy your cars along with upgrade the cars, so you get more points easier, but you have a lot more to spend them in order to keep yourself competitive. Mm-hmm. That being said, they both have their own reasons to play. As the racer, I'm typically more likely to run for a hideout while being chased by a lot of cops than I am to actually try and escape from the cops. Especially once I'm like heat level 5 and I've got 4 of them chasing me. It's like, no, go away, go away, go away, go away. And you can actually, in the middle of a pursuit, stop at your hideout, hit L1, and it'll take and that'll count as a successful escape and save your points. Your car just magically disappears and the cops don't know what happened to it, even though you are just stopped in front of a building. Another example of real life not translating into video games well.
That's why it is a game and not real life. Because I don't think we want everybody running around crazy from cops and hiding in hideouts.
Well, and the cops and the racers can't seem to find a nice happy medium between each other. Well, I mean, you probably wouldn't expect that. But it's like the cops talk about how, you know, they're trying to make the world safer while they are literally ramming these guys to try and destroy their cars while they're driving them. It's like, this doesn't seem like a very cop-like thing to do.
It's just not a very nice human thing to do.
Yeah, but it's a lot of fun. I'm enjoying the game, which is amazing because I'm not a big fan of racing games. As with any game, though, I did find one bug where I literally fell through the world. Posted that to Facebook. Thank you, PlayStation video sharing options, making life easy to do stuff like that.
I remember falling through the world in Shadows of the Empire for 64. It worked out very well in my favor, though, when we were fighting IG-88. We could shoot up through the floor, but he couldn't shoot down through the floor at us. And thankfully, once you destroy stuff, you just kind of have to go towards the area that the area zone for the end, and then it will continue on. At least we didn't have to go walking through a door or something. The game just kind of like, oh, you defeated the enemy. We will progress. Nice. Otherwise, we would have been stuck, and all that work would have been for naught.
Yeah, good game. If you enjoy racing games, it's not a bad purchase. If you're looking for a pure racing game, you probably want to go Forza if you have the Xbox One. I don't know if there's any pure racing games for the PS4 yet, though.
I think
Gran Turismo 6 came out for PS3, but I honestly don't remember off the top of my head. Now I have to look this up because it's bothering me.
Yeah, but other than the few games we've been playing, we've been watching My Cat from Hell. I know it's like sort of reality TV thing, but they're really short episodes, and we have a cat, and I just enjoy watching them because I'm like, help the kittens!
Yeah, Gran Turismo 6 is for the PS3. So I don't know of any good racing games any other racing games other than Need for Speed that are out for the PS4 right now. You have to be careful about running into other passerbys.
Oh yeah, I've done it. In the like 5 minutes I played, I think I did like 2 or 3 head-ons, and then you're just done. It's just like your car's totaled, and
you killed yourself.
Well, it's like I like how the computer is like, Matt. It's like you have massive damage on your vehicle so far. It's like, okay, where's the gas station? Because apparently driving through gas stations without stopping magically fixes my car. Don't even have to park. Which is really fun when you go crashing through the gas station and then it responds to you. It's like, your car has been repaired. Yes. Anywho. Yeah.
My limit of gaming has just been a bit more Pokemon. And there's not a whole lot to report on that. You know, it's just catch all of the Pokemon and then level and train all of the Pokemon. I did find once you got out of the what is the big city called?
I know the big city you're talking about because it's shaped like a giant Pokeball.
Yes.
The Pokeball City, we'll call it for right now.
But once you leave there, I think it's Route 5, you start running into hordes of Pokemon, which is basically like 5 Pokemon that are basically half level of what is normally around in the area. that's kind of, it can be kind of bad because it's a lot, because basically you get a turn and then all five of them get a turn. And so there's a very high chance of just like a lot of damage coming in or a whole lot of debuffs coming in.
Yeah, the only time where those are easy is when you have a Pokemon that has a AoE attack.
Yeah, and I haven't found anything yet that has something that's AoE and damaging. You know, I have a lot of... I have a few AoE, like, status debuffs, but not... Not the AoE damages.
I'm gonna get a Froakie!
Are you restarting yours?
No! He got a Froakie and a Wonder Trade.
Nice.
Yeah, I put in like what's the elk type thing called?
I don't know.
It's the grass deer or grass elk Pokemon.
At least it wasn't a bad thing. At least I don't think it was a bad thing.
Well, I felt bad. I was like, I put in a new common Pokemon. I get the, you know, like another starter. I'm like,
well, that guy had to have known he wasn't getting much. He probably just started the game, put in the Froakie for somebody so they could get it.
Well, or... Because you can catch the starter Pokemon in the world. They're hard to find, right?
I don't think you can catch the starter Pokemon.
No, not usually.
Originally, you were able to.
No, you couldn't.
No, you can't.
Yeah, you could find Charmanders, at least.
I don't think you could in Red and Blue.
Not in Red and Blue, because my brother and I did the weird, like, duplicate trade thing. Did anybody else do that? It kind of breaks your game a little bit if you do it. But basically, you start a trade over the old school trade wild on your brick Game Boys, and when the trade wasn't quite finished, you shut one of the Game Boys off. And what it basically does is that the Game Boy's memory is trying to remember what it got, and so it would replicate that Pokemon. So you could literally have the starters, but you had to do this, and once in a while, it could possibly corrupt your game. So the best way to do it is do all the starters at the very beginning. Once you get to the first town that you could trade, and then leave it at that, unless there is something particular that you really wanted. It's the only way you could complete your Pokédex. We wanted to try out the different Pokemon without having to play through the game three different times. Because once was long enough for me.
Yeah.
I just wish that Pokemon cartridges had more than one save file.
Me too. I really wish there was at least two or three, but it's kind of like, it's very much your own personal game, and you have to trade and play with other people. I think they really want you to push that aspect.
I just wish that because, like, Care Bear and I have one copy, she has the other. In order for me to get the stuff, if I wanted to, I would have to erase her game in order to get stuff from her side.
You can just trade them.
If I wanted to get the starters, though, from hers.
So couldn't you just trade the starter and then trade it back and basically get the Pokedex entry and then give it back?
Probably.
Yeah, you could. You can trade.
Yeah. I don't know if it would recognize it was back to its original owner or not, and whether or not it would still get the bonus XP or not.
Don't know.
And technically you'd have to do that three times because you'd have to get it for each of its evolved states.
Yeah.
Anywho, I'm saying I just wish, you know, maybe two saves per cartridge would be nice.
Yeah.
And that's all I've got. How about you guys?
Yeah, I haven't done much else. Been kind of busy this week. I had to work all week. I know everyone's like, well, I have to work all week too. Like, I'm only like part-time. And
typically, she has free time to do stuff.
Yeah, that stuff is like taking care of the house and trying to work on artwork. Now that I have an artwork space, as soon as I clean it off, hooray! I have a space and I've already filled it.
About every 8 months, I have to reorganize my entire garage because stuff just gets scattered and junk I don't need anymore gets thrown in there.
Yeah, ours is all the tools get totally misplaced all over the counter.
Yeah.
Well, it's like since last time I properly cleaned my garage, I've added an old Jack Daniels bar and a jukebox.
You accumulate odd bits. I thought I got,
my,
you know,
parents accumulate odd bits, and then they moved into a house where they don't have room for the stuff anymore.
And so they give them to you. You could say, no, I don't really want this.
But this stuff's too cool just to give away.
It's called renting a storage unit.
I have rented a storage unit, and it is full.
No, no, no. Wait, if your parents rented a storage unit?
No.
No.
My dad has a 20,000 square foot warehouse.
Then why can't you put that in the warehouse?
Because it's full of stuff.
You guys might need to think about how much stuff you have.
We are not that bad of hoarders. We trust us. We know somebody who is much, much worse than my family. You have to think. His warehouse also includes stuff he's selling. And
yeah, well,
stuff,
I mean,
like
that's
that.
The thing. I expect there to be product that, you know, that's what a warehouse is for, is the product that you're acquiring to sell.
Like the baby grand piano's in the warehouse.
Why do you have a baby grand piano?
It was the first thing my dad ever bought. It was one of the first things my dad ever bought my mom.
Does your mom play?
She used to. Yeah, long story anyways. So we're going to go play D&D here in a little bit. In the meantime, if you want to find us on the interwebs, you can find us at thegameslave.com, on any of the social media sites except for poor, hell, I don't even remember the name of the service anymore.
MySpace.
That's it. And you can also send us an email to mail@thegameslave.com. In the meantime, y'all have a great week and game on.
Game on.
Game on.